with me, as always, is the man, the doctor, El Captain, El Presidente, the Fuhrer, Fred Pfeiffer.
Don't say the Fuhrer, buddy? Mark. I'm doing great, buddy. I got a cold coming on. Unfortunately, it's because of this horrid weather. But so my sultry tones are a little bit less sultry due to the cold. But besides that, I feel pretty strong. How you doing, my man? Pretty excited about the season starting up again?
I'm so excited about the season starting up again. You know what, too, is that, you know, normally I've got, like, planted on my radar the trade deadline, especially when I used to work in the corporate world, and, you know, you're sitting around all day on your computer. Yeah. I'd be, like, refreshing and refreshing. I kind of forgot yesterday it was going on. And all of a sudden, at, like, 2 o'clock, my phone just – because I've subscribed to NBA.com. Mm-hmm. My phone just started blowing up, and it was just, like, one after another after another after another. Best trade deadline. Not that you had – major trades. I mean, we'll get into those in a minute, but you had a lot of them, and they're very interesting, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. But I know, Fred, first, that you wanted to talk about the current state of the Bulls going into the second half now, because there were some comments yesterday.
Well, there were, first of all, you know, we did the last show was a grade show, and I had a couple people tweeted or emailed, hey, what's your grade for Tibbs? What's your grade for management? And, you know, we didn't really address that. And now is probably even a better day that the trade deadline has passed to grade management. What say you? Why don't you go first? Let's do management first. And then, well, let's do Tibbs first, and then we'll do management. What do you give to the Tibbs?
I want to do management first, and then I'll do Tibbs. Management, I'm going to give management an A+. And this is why. Look, in the off season, I wanted Carmelo Anthony. And I know they wanted Carmelo Anthony, too. And, I mean, whatever. Didn't work out. But the fact is that I don't think most people, besides you, there were very few people in the Chicagoland area that were that pumped about us getting Pau Gasol. And the fact that they not only got him, but they started getting him even when Carmelo was still figuring out where to go. Like, there was a point where they just said, screw it, we're moving on. They went out and got Pau Gasol, and they really beefed up this team to the point where, you know, look at what we were last year. Look at what we were going into the season last year. Even with Derrick Rose, prior to his injury, I certainly didn't think that that team was good enough to potentially win a title. The fact that everybody and their mother right now thinks that we are probably the deepest team in the NBA and the team with the most untapped upside, that we are the team that if anybody's going to pull something out, I mean, I was watching this on TNT. All four analysts picked us to be, you know, the dark horse in the Eastern Conference, that the team to really watch out for. And, you know, I hear it on the radio, things like that. I mean, like, everybody's very scared of the talent that we have on this team. The talent, I'm giving an A+. In terms of them putting together a team that can really win a title, A+.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think I don't see how anybody else can give another grade. I mean, you added a guy who, if for $7 million a year in Gasol, who became an all-star, a starting all-star in the Eastern Conference team. That move alone, where you were competing with other quality organizations. It wasn't just the Bulls that wanted him. San Antonio wanted him. Oklahoma City wanted him. Exactly. Phil Jackson wanted him. You know, Lakers obviously wanted him back. There's a ton of organizations, a ton of teams that were interested in Gasol. You went out. You got him. You deserve credit for signing him. And he's made a ton of difference on the quality of this team. I think he'll make a huge difference in the playoffs. That's an A+ move right there. But then you also add a guy like Aaron Brooks, and for what, the fourth or fifth year in a row, you add a guard off the scrap heap who just comes and contributes mightily. And Brooks, I think you would agree, Mark. I mean, the guy's been overall pretty phenomenal and definitely helped us with our three-point shooting. So that's another example in a long line of, you know, DJ Augustine and Nate Robinson, that whole line of small guards that they brought in off the scrap heap to do a great job. You had Mirotić, you had McDermott. Obviously, McDermott's still an incomplete, but Mirotić had some very significant moments this season. Overall, I don't see how you can give anything else but an A or an A+. I know some people were disappointed about trades. You know, they didn't make any moves yesterday. I'm not a big fan of moving Gibson. I've heard a lot. You're going to have to move quality to get quality, right? You would have had to move Gibson somewhere. I just feel I'm still with the injury history of Noah and Gasol. I just have a problem with just moving Gibson. I think that pretty much moving Gibson, you're really on thin ice in the front court, and I think that would have a huge detrimental effect on the team in the playoffs. Whatever you say about Taj this year, and he's been noticeably probably a little bit more selfish on the offensive end than in previous seasons, He's brought it in the playoffs almost every year he's been on this team. He's upped his game. He definitely did that in, against the Heat in 2011. People don't remember that, but him along with Brewer were the only two guys who really played above their season statistics. I wasn't a big fan of moving Taj just to move him. If we don't get to the playoffs or the ECF this year, I mean, if we don't get far in the playoffs or to the ECF, yeah, I'm fine maybe looking at exploring trade options after the season, because he is on, you know, he's going to be over 30, and, you know, his best days are probably behind him. But I'm fine with going forward as a team as is, and I like what we have. Now, there are rumors now that Perkins might be, you know, Perkins was traded yesterday. He's going to probably be bought out by Utah. He's going to be available, and the Bulls would potentially go after him. Maybe we should save this part of the conversation until we're done with the grades, unless you want to address it right now.
No. I mean, I think that, you know, I mean, I agree with everything that you said. You know, we discussed on the last show trading Taj Gibson. My overall thoughts on it, which we discussed before, were, you know, unless you were going to get somebody that was really good. I mean, Taj obviously does mean a lot to this team. So if we were going to trade Taj Gibson, it's going to have to be for somebody that's equally as good. You got to trade quality to get quality. And the fact is that I have no problem with what we're starting to see from Tony Snell, and with the fact that Butler's going to be back, us putting our stock in the backcourt that we have. Because if you put stock in the backcourt that we have, then you want Taj Gibson, because you're saying that, you know, obviously Taj is a very valuable player to this team. I just feel like we have a lot of depth in the front court. But he certainly is the guy that puts us over the top. He's got far more experience than Miracic. He's far more consistent than Miracic. So, as you know, I have no problem with us making the decision that the team is fine as it is. Because other than that, like, what else would you have done? Unless you made some blockbuster trade for Taj, what else would you have done? But at the same time, I think the team has played together like 13 times this year, something like that. And I know that I believe that they've only lost two games together with the entire team in the starting lineup, with the full starting lineup playing. They've only lost like two games. So to have stock, putting stock into the team that we have, I got no problem with it.
Management overall has given Tibbs enough tools to have a team that should contend for a title. Or at least you get to the Eastern Conference Finals, and I think challenge in the ECF, and hopefully you potentially get beyond there. So overall, I'm fine with everything they've done. What about Tibbs? What grade do you give him?
Oh God! So I think that Tom Thibodeau's weaknesses are being the most exposed this year, because in past seasons, you know, especially the last two seasons, you've had 2 years in a row where Derek went down, and nobody expected anything from us, and we ended up being all right. And obviously, he got all the accolades for that. Well, now you've got the talent. And, you know, look, I mean, the team is doing very well. I'm not going to say that we're doing poorly, but, you know, January certainly was raised a lot of eyebrows. And you know, I think that a lot of people were hoping that at this point that we'd be number one in the Eastern Conference. We're clearly not at the moment. I certainly think that we could be in terms of talent, but I don't think we're ever going to catch Atlanta. But, you know, I mean, you look at a team like Atlanta. Obviously, great coaching. They don't have the type of talent that we have. And look at the few amount of games that they've lost. And then you look at a team like us who does have the talent, and we should be playing a little bit better. So there's that aspect of it. I think offensively, this team's been a little stagnant this year. There's not a lot of ball movement. That goes back on him. The issue that I feel with Derrick Rose taking too many threes, I feel like to some degree that's coaching. Because, look, if Derrick's just going out there and being some malcontent and shooting the threes that on his own, then you should be benching him and saying, yo, dude, no more than four threes a game, open threes, that's it. Stop, like, you know, creating your own with 24 seconds left on the shot clock. I mean, that's coaching. But then you get into the minutes. And, I mean, obviously every year, the one statistic that we know year in and year out that we are going to be number one in the league in, and we should be damn well proud, is that we're always going to have the player that is averaging the most minutes in the NBA every freaking year. Every year. This year, again, it's Jimmy Butler making it on top of that list two times in a row, 39.3 minutes a game, almost 2 minutes above the second most used player, Kyrie Irving. But then also what is also extremely disappointing is the fact that at number 18, you see Pau Gasol. Now, Pau's played great this year. Pau's played great. But the fact that he's playing more minutes than Kevin Love, Chris Paul, DeMarcus Cousins, Nikolai Vucevic, and his brother, Marc Gasol, who is substantially younger than he is, there is no reason. He's playing like three more minutes than Stephon Curry. There's no reason why Pau Gasol, especially with the depth in our front court, should be playing this much. If he gets injured this year, I'm blaming Tom Thibodeau. And Jimmy Butler, Jimmy just came off of a major off of a shoulder injury. You can't tell me that there's a chance that maybe some overuse is what led to that injury. I mean, the more you're out there, the more opportunities you have to get hurt. We need a healthy team in the playoffs. We've never had that. Every single year we go into the playoffs, not as healthy as we were during the regular season. And we've had multiple times now where you've always had guys on Tom Thibodeau teams that have not played as well in the playoffs as they did during the regular season. Why is that? It's got to be – it's either poor coaching or it's the fact that, you know, by the end, they're worn down. They're absolutely worn down. So this season, yeah, there's other issues too. I mean, another issue that I have is the fact that he's playing Kirk Heinrich so much. He was getting eviscerated yesterday on ESPN 1000 for the amount that he plays Kirk Heinrich and his rationale behind it, saying that – he gave, like, what his rationale was, he gave the team's record what it is when Kirk Heinrich plays, but it's also like, well, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, Don Thibodeau, because this is also a very good team. So it's like, that obviously we're going to have a better record. Well, you could point at anyone. Kirk Heinrich is the lowest plus minus on the team.
I think the record.
He's clearly not who he is. Go on.
The record that he pointed to was 10-6. It was something like 10-6 or 10-5 when Kirk plays over 30 minutes. And then I heard KC on the Bull Zone mention what he didn't say to him was, well, yeah, they're also 8-2 when he doesn't play at all, you know. And they also have a fantastic record when he plays below 30. It's like, but basically the fact is the record is much better when he doesn't play at all. So you want to throw that out there. That shows, first of all, that was that comment though was given by Tibbs without any solicitation. So in other words, he was trying to find statistics which justified his stupidity for playing Heinrich so much in the month of January. It was clear, and I noticed Tibbs does that a lot. He tries to find statistics that, you know, justify or counter what – I think he does have rabbit ears. I think he does pay attention to what people are saying, and I think he does try to find statistics which counter what people in the fan base and in the media are stating. So – that's what he does, you know, and that's fine. He's a great coach. You know, what was your grade? I didn't mean to interrupt you there, brother.
I mean, look, overall, this is my biggest thing, is the fact that in the past, I felt like we had a franchise-changing coach, that we had like a Popovich-type guy that could be here for a very long time. I don't feel that way anymore. You hear all this stuff between him and Bulls management. A lot of it, I believe, because he seems like a very hard-headed, defiant coach. And at the end of the day, I'm starting to even think that, like, I don't even know if I really want him back next year, because the most drama we've had on the team this year has completely surrounded around him. And you know, that's been that way in the past, too. You know, there's a lot of things that he does that I don't agree with. I agree that he's a great defensive coach. I don't think that he's that great of an offensive coach. And at the end of the day, the coach should not be taking attention away from the team itself. I'm going to give Tom Thibodeau a D.
Oh, come on. No, I mean,
based on expectations, Fred.
That's ridiculous.
Based on expectations.
Well,
expectations.
You can't give him a D. I mean, the team still is above.
I can give him whatever I want.
I guess you're right. I guess you're right. All right, the good. He's still an excellent defensive coach. He's still an excellent coach overall. He works hard. He studies.
Defense sucked this year.
Team's always prepared. It hasn't sucked. It's still top half. We're still not the worst.
Top half?
Yeah. But
we were like number one every year.
It sucks compared to where we were, but that's, you know, pretty high comparison, right? It's been a stellar defense under him every year. So relative to where it was, yeah, it's not great, but relative to the NBA, it's still top half. You know,
but how could you be happy
the
about
positive,
that, that's
I am happy about it. I think overall he's done a good job. As far as, like, coaching X's and O's, I see what he's trying to do with Gasol. He's playing Gasol as a stretch five. I've complained a lot about it. I think Gasol belongs in the post. But I kind of understand what he's doing on the offensive end. I'm starting to see some really nice things that he's doing off the ball with Noah when Gasol does have the ball in the post. And I haven't been actually really upset overall about how he's running the offense. I feel Gasol should be in the low post a little bit more. They go to him about one or every four or five times down. I'd like to see that up a little bit. I think it will be up in the playoffs because that's what happens when everything slows down. But overall, I don't have a huge problem with, you know, the X's and O's part of it, with the exception of the defensive end. So I always say that Tibbs is, there's two types of coaches in the world. There's the kinds that adjust the system to the talent, and there's the kinds that expect the talent to adjust to the system. You can have great coaches in both ways. So the great coach, for example, that expects the talent to adjust to the system is Bobby Knight, one of the most successful coaches of all time. But then you also have guys that expect the system to kind of adjust their system to the talent. That's a guy like Popovich or Bill Belichick in football. I kind of always sided with the Belichick types, the people who adjust their system to the talent. I always kind of preferred those type of coaches, and I think those guys will win out more often than not. But Tibbs isn't that way, right? He's got a system. They're going to run it. They're going to do it over and over and over again until you understand it. And, you know, if Gasol can't guard the pick and roll, then Gasol can't guard the pick and roll, but we're going to do it my way. That's the one part that really has bothered me, is that it's clear Gasol has issues with guarding the pick and roll. And it's clear that the NBA has figured that out, right? People are starting to understand that, and they're going to go to that and try to force pick and rolls with Rose and Gasol. Has he adjusted to it? Well, he didn't do it against Orlando, that's for sure. They just ran it over and over and over again. And, you know, he was fine with just keeping him out there. You either got to pull him out and send somebody else out there, or, which is my preference, is do what Phil Jackson did after studying the tape. You know, bring it in. Don't guard people 40 out. Don't put pressure on the ball 40 feet out, especially if it's a guy like Peyton who can't hit it, hurt you with a jumper. Bring everything in, and that's a good way of kind of, you know, adjusting to your talent, right? Gasol can't guard the pick and roll 40 feet out, but anybody can guard the pick and roll if it's done at the free throw line. It's a lot easier to do that when what teams are trying to do is put our big guys in space, especially Gasol in space, and taking advantage of that. Adjust your system to that. And, you know, I'm going to give him some time. He's still got a few weeks before the playoffs. Let's see how he does that. Overall, though, what he did in the month of January, playing Heinrich 25 minutes plus, keeping Snell, keeping McDermott, what he's done with McDermott, totally almost ruining McDermott, affecting his confidence, throwing minutes around with Miritich, that kind of stuff is just wrong. And I think it's, you know, inexcusable. He's got this stubborn attitude that, you know, rookies. I know he threw out that that comment early before the season started. Hey, rookies, if you go back in history, most teams that win championships, I can't think of a rookie that really made a big contribution in the championship or having an effect on the championship. Well, number one, that's not true. Magic Johnson and Larry Bird had huge effects on their teams challenging for championships as rookies, number one. But number two, more often than not, the teams that are drafting the best talent are crappy teams. So, yeah, of course, that's a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? I mean, yes, most of the great teams are drafting near the end of the draft. You're not going to have a rookie come in who's drafted 25th, 26th, 27th, 28th and have a massive effect on that team. This team was a very good team that had a couple high picks and also had Miritich come in. These guys should have a bigger part of the offense. They should be playing more. And developing these guys over the course of a year to the point where they have confidence going into the playoffs should have been an imperative. It should have been something that we focused on. He doesn't want to do that. He wants to win every game. So, are you there? Did I put you to sleep? Sorry. I'll give him a C. I can't give a guy a D. I mean, overall, he's still a very good coach. I would have given him even a higher grade if for January, if he would have put Snell or, you know, gone with other options instead of Heinrich so much. But I'll give him a C+.
All right. Fair enough. All right. Well, let's move on now to the trade deadline. A lot of activity yesterday. So I figure we'll break down the deals that matter. And we give it to grade to each team, right?
You want to do that or just talk about the best, most influential trades? I mean, like, there's one I'd like to start. Let's first start out about this possibility, about Perkins, because that's the one that affects us, right? Perkins was traded to Utah. They're going to probably buy him out. He's going to be a free agent. Do you want to see him become a part of the Chicago Bulls?
I don't really. I mean, look, I don't carry animosity for, you know, 2007 or what is it, 2009.
2009, yeah.
You know, whatever. I mean, you know, he's not that great anymore. He was starting, I mean, for the Thunder. I mean, that is something. It would give us a little bit of depth. I mean, it would certainly help us if Noah goes down again or something like that. I mean, you know, that's fine depth. I mean, whatever. I mean, I think that with our current rotation, he really wouldn't play a lot. Now, if somebody goes down, it's certainly some good insurance. I mean, this guy was a starter on Oklahoma City up until yesterday. So, no, he wasn't a starter. He was coming off the bench in Oklahoma City. He's Steve Allen's right? He was starting. It wasn't Perkins starting. But regardless, he was somebody that played a lot of minutes on their team. So, you know, whatever. I mean, I don't think it's a major move. It's not something that's going to, like, you know, shake things up that much. But, you know, if they get him, great. I mean, it's a little bit extra talent. Why not?
He wasn't starting for them. He only had three starts this year. You know, I heard 2 years ago, I believe it was, when Perkins was traded to Oklahoma City from Boston, I heard Thibodeau on a Scott Van Pelt show in an interview, and I still remember, I almost stopped when he said he thought that Perkins was either the best low post player he's ever coached, low post defender he's ever coached, or one of the best, something to that degree. He just went off and waxed poetic about how great, you know, Perkins was as a low post defender. So as soon as I heard this trade happen and the possibility would be that Perkins would be a free agent if the Jazz bought him out, I said, I can just see Tibbs running the management saying, I want that guy as part of my team. And I think if he does become a part of his team, that would pretty much end Mirotic's minutes for the remainder of the year. He'd be relegated to McDermott status. All that said, I'm fine with adding him because, number one, I don't want to see him going to Cleveland, because I think that addition to Cleveland would really help that team. When the playoffs happen, I think they're going to need one more low post guy, and because I think Gasol will be able to hopefully draw some fouls on the Cavs, you know, interior defense, and that just would give them another option in the low post defensively that I don't want to see them have. So I'd almost like prefer them to get him just to prevent Cleveland from getting him. You know, if he's going to go to the West, I don't care, but I wouldn't mind seeing the Bulls go after him just again, preventing Cleveland from getting him. Go on.
Fair enough. So then, okay, the move that I want to talk about first, just I don't think it's the biggest move of the day, but the Wolves getting Kevin Garnett back for Thaddeus Young. My views on this in general are just, I mean, there's no question who got more talent here. Thaddeus Young is a pretty good player. I do believe they did an opt-out clause in his contract, so I guess if you felt like he was going to opt out at the end of the year, fine. But I hope that they knew that he was going to opt out, because if I was even like 92% sure that he was going to opt out, I'd still rather have Thaddeus Young and an 8% chance of keeping him next year than Kevin Garnett. Kevin Garnett is far past his prime. He is even like his personality. Not only are his skill sets not the same as when he left Minnesota, but his personality is completely different. He's like a monster now. He's a complete crazy monster. I mean, it's beautiful. I mean, you're trying to sell tickets. They have the lowest attendance in the league over in Minnesota, so I guess you want to bring him back for one last swan song, but whatever. I hope that these are the last 30 days of Kevin Garnett's career. I've never seen a player in my life that I've enjoyed so much in my radar go so low. I mean, he was an A-plus player for me before, and now he's like a D. And if you take his career, even with his career, I just think that he's been such a skunk. He has just perpetuated this disgusting odor over the teams that he's been on over the last couple of years, not because they've been good, because he's just a punk, and he's just been such a disgusting human being, a disgusting representative of the league. He used to be an A-plus representative of the NBA. He's not that anymore. I'm going to say for Minnesota, I mean, certainly there's no question Brooklyn won in this deal. I mean, if they have any chance of keeping Thaddeus Young, they absolutely won in this deal.
Yeah, I guess Minnesota's doing it just because to bring, you know, him back, quote unquote, home, right? He had his best years of career, Garnett's career in Minnesota, and I'm guessing that he'll provide some leadership on or some instruction on defensive end for some of their young players like Wiggins. I'm guessing that's the reason behind it. I haven't done a lot of research on it, right? So I kind of understand that line of thinking. It seems like most of the people in Minnesota really were happy about it. I guess when it wasn't that much different, you know, to when we brought Pippen back, right? Back in, what, 2003 or 2004, with that line of thinking, that didn't work out.
He was a free agent. You didn't give anything up. That was a different thing.
Yeah, but Thaddeus Young, really, I mean.
Dude, he's averaging like 14 points a game, and I think he's averaging like.
Somebody's got to average 14 points a game, right? The team's terrible. I think in the long run, I'm guessing it was a move to kind of mentor Wiggins. Don't you kind of see that, or am I wrong?
Yeah, but do you want KG mentoring anybody?
On defense,
do you want him to mentor anyone?
He's one of the best low post, you know, sound like Tibbs talking about Perkins. He's one of the best defenders, big man defenders I've ever seen. You know, he is very good at that, right? And I think he could pass on that type of knowledge. I guess you're right. You have a lot more disgust with him than I do. I kind of, you know, grown past what he was doing in 2009, but I think he probably has a lot of knowledge and a lot of value that he can hopefully pass on to some of those younger guys. But, you know, I guess we'll wait and see. I think the move overall, though, is a big nothing either way, right? I'm not a big fan of Thaddeus Young, and it sounds like you are more than me. But either way, it doesn't really move the needle. The one I do want to talk about, though, is the move in Milwaukee, which I don't get. Brandon Knight, one of the most underrated players in the NBA, shot over 40% from three this year, had some really nice numbers, 17 points per game, you know, really nice athlete. I liked him a lot when he was in Detroit. I don't understand why you would move him and bring in a guy like Michael Carter-Williams, who's shooting 38% from the field, 25% from three. Guy can't shoot. He's horrible. Do you understand the thinking behind that move?
No, I didn't realize that Brandon Knight was averaging almost 17 points a game. I mean, look, Brandon Knight's not a great scorer either. He's only a 43% shooter, but obviously that's substantially better than, what, a 38% shooter, I think is what Carter-Williams is. Yeah, 38%. He's shooting, yeah. I mean, his career averages are under 40%, Michael Carter-Williams. That's bad. I mean, to have, and he's injured right now. From what I believe, yeah, he's injured right now. So, I mean, he hasn't played in a little while. Let's see here. He hasn't played in, I don't know exactly what's going on with him, but he hasn't played in, okay, three games. So he's missed three games. But, I mean, look, you're a team, the Milwaukee Bucks, that is in the best position that they've been in an extremely long time to maybe make a little bit of noise in the playoffs. Now, obviously, losing Jabari Parker is huge. But you got to think long term here. And I guess, I mean, I don't know. How old is Brandon Knight? Let's see. How old is Brandon Knight?
He's pretty young. He was out of Kentucky pretty early. Let me look it up really quick and see.
Hey, 23. Averaging 17.8 points a game, 5.4 assists. His PER is like almost 19. I mean, yeah, I don't get it at all. Michael Carter-Williams is not good.
Think about also, too, with Knight that I like is his shooting numbers have improved significantly for the last 3 years, especially from the three-point line. He shot 32% last year. He shot 40% this year. That's over 40%, which is phenomenal from three-point line. He shoots at an 88% rate from the free throw line. I'm a big fan of this kid. I don't. And he's 5.4 assists is up 3 years in a row. His assist numbers are up 3 years in a row. His steals have gone up 3 years in a row. You trade a guy like Knight, who's been getting better for 3 years in a row, for a guy like Michael Carter-Williams, who I just think sucks. I think it's a big mistake on their part. Congrats to Phoenix for getting a rising star who should be, you know, heading into his prime over the next few years. So I don't know.
And hey, look at the GM of the Suns went out afterwards and said that we got the best player in this trade. That's what he said afterwards. What
a slap
in Gordon Drag's place. Hey, is he better than Dragic? Dragic has been pretty good, man. Statistically, this year, let's just take a look here at the minutes that he's been playing. But this season, he's averaging about 33 minutes. I don't know what Knight's averaging right in front of me, but 16.2 points a game, 4 rebounds. His PER is 16.67. Brandon Knight, so far this year, you got to admit, that's pretty good. The fact that you were able to,
absolutely,
this guy, your best point guard wants to leave, probably the best player on the team wants to leave, and you replaced him with somebody that's arguably better.
Well, Dragic is 28, Mark. He's right, you know, you're getting a guy who's 5 years younger. You know, it's unbelievable. So you're 5 years younger than Brandon Knight, who's going into, who's, you know, I think going to be a really solid player for years to come. And by some of the statistics, he's already better than Dragic. So I think it was a phenomenal move on their part, especially since Dragic wasn't going to re-sign. Great job by the Suns, and I think they're going to continue to get better. The Heat, though, you know, bringing in a guy like Dragic, who is a good player, you got to feel, man, they got to be just bummed out. I know a bunch of Heat fans that were, not a bunch, but two, that I was, you know, going with back and forth on Twitter yesterday, ecstatic, and nobody probably wanted to play a lineup of Dragic, Wade, Luol Deng, Bosch, you know, and Whiteside, and now look what happens. You know what I mean? With Bosch now probably out for the year with, unfortunately, some issues in his lungs with potential blood clots. And I know a lot of people, God bless him, I hope he's okay. He's a really good guy, Bosch. I know a lot of people, you know, still hold a lot of hatred for, you know, the Heat and what they did. But I think Chris Bosch is a good person, and I wish him all the best. You never want to see that happen to even your worst enemies.
No, never. And, absolutely. I mean, I can't you know, I mean, I completely share those sentiments. You know, you never want to see somebody go down unless it's LeBron James. And at the end of the day, you know, I mean, obviously, look, when you got Dragic, obviously Miami's never really had a decent point guard ever. I mean, at least in the last handful of years, they haven't had a decent point guard. So they're sitting right there at the eighth spot, tied with Charlotte. You know, I think it's unlikely that they would have caught Milwaukee. I mean, they could have, but it was unlikely that they would have. But with Michael Carter-Williams, maybe they will. But, you know, I mean, the fact is they could have made maybe a little bit of noise in the playoffs. It's unfortunate that, that he went down, but at least you got a piece that, as long as he resigns there, a piece that, you know, that it's going to solidify that lineup, you know, starting off next year. So, you know, at the end of the day, good trade by Miami. I mean, I'm assuming at that time you didn't know. They may have known, though, man. They may have known when they made that trade. I mean, this it just got released today, but that doesn't mean that they didn't know about it before this.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know about that. I don't know. Maybe you're right. I don't know. It's a good question. I doubt it, though. I don't think there was any way for them to. They probably heard about it just today. I don't think they would have gone through with the trade. Maybe they would have. Who knows?
Sure.
But they still got Whiteside. They still got Wade. They still got now, you know, Dragic. There's still going to be a challenge. They still have Dang, but losing Bosch is a big loss. You know, huge loss.
Oh, huge loss.
Maybe
huge
he'll
loss.
Be back. I mean, it's still kind of early in this process, but just it's a tough thing to go through for them. So anyhow, man, I got to hit the road in a few minutes. So what else is up?
Well, you have the Pistons getting Reggie Jackson and the Thunder getting Enes Kanter. Look, Reggie Jackson didn't want to be there anymore. He's definitely an overrated player. I hope that he enjoys losing in Detroit. I don't quite get why Detroit did. I mean, I guess I get. I mean, you got better in Detroit. I mean, you certainly got a good player. You didn't give up that much in terms of, you know, guys that really affected your team. Obviously, Jackson plays the same position as Brandon Jennings, but they've had small backcourts in the past. Detroit probably got a little bit better with this deal. As far as Oklahoma City, look, would I have given in to his? Well, it was a three-team trade, so I mean, they got the best player in this trade. Enes Kanter, no question,
yep.
is the best player in that trade. They really have a pretty decent low post now. I mean, now you're going to have Adams, and then you have Enes Kanter, but then you also have Serge Ibaka. That's going to be a tough front court to deal with. You don't have that scoring threat off the bench anymore, but I don't know if you need it, because as long as you space out Westbrook and Durant properly, you should always have one of them on the floor. You should always have one of them on the floor, because they are so – I mean, they can all score on their – you don't necessarily need – both of them at the same time. Now, obviously, when you have them both out there, it's double trouble. That's crazy. But I think that you could get creative with how you play the backcourt. Reggie Jackson isn't even really going to matter very much. Oklahoma City Thunder win that trade.
Oh, I agree completely. I think that's a huge addition to them, to their team, and they looked really good yesterday in the time that I saw them play. I don't know how the game finished yesterday. Do you have that information that they won yesterday? I know they were playing.
They killed them. They were killing them when I looked. They were destroyed. Yeah, but nobody was playing, though.
Yeah, but either way, you know, it's going to be so tough in the West to see who comes out of there. You know, I mean, imagine somebody getting Oklahoma City at 8 or 7. Oh, my gosh. You know, I mean, it's just I thought it was a great move on their part, though, to go for it. He's a really good player, a solid player, a nice guy to bring off the bench or even start, right? I think that was
sure.
A great move on their part. What's Utah doing? I mean, how many times are they is it going to be like a continual rebuilding process for the next 5 years? I don't understand why they make that move. What was the reasoning behind that? What did they
yeah,
get?
Yeah, I don't understand. They got proven to their dropping.
Yeah.
They got draft picks. I don't know what draft picks they got, but they did get draft picks.
It can't be
look,
high, though, can it?
Well, I mean, whatever it is, I mean, you must not have thought you were going to keep Kanter. I bet you that he's up for a contract extension sometime soon. He was drafted a couple years ago. I would imagine that he's up for one sometime soon. If you didn't think that you could you're right. I mean, what are they doing? I don't know, but this team's not even close to contending. They're not even close to winning. I mean, they're not even close to making the playoffs. So, you know, do I see if they were decent draft picks or picks that were you thought that you had some sort of a chance to do, you know, something with those picks? I'm okay with the draft picks. Let's move on.
Yep.
There's a couple more trades that I wanted
real quick, before
to
you hate on the Bulls management, Chicago Bulls listeners anymore, just think about this. How would you like to be a Detroit fan? How about Utah? How about the Philadelphia 76ers? Look at some of these teams. Milwaukee. There's so many teams out there that run so poorly, and it just amazes me. You know, I feel blessed that we were able to at least get guys in here that understand talent, bring in guys like Taj, Noah, you know, Jimmy Butler. All these teams, but, you know, basically Taj Gibson and Noah, there were tons of, not Noah, Taj Gibson and Butler, there were, almost every team in the league could have had those two guys. But they weren't able to do it. You know, I feel a lot better every time I look at teams like Utah and the 76ers and Milwaukee and feel like, gosh, at least we're not – I think we're in pretty good hands.
Yeah, what about and then the Sixers? I don't know what the Sixers are doing, because then they go out, they get JaVale McGee, a player who's making quite a bit of money on, you know, and he's not playing very well.
I mean, they're rebuilding for the 18th time. I have no idea what they're doing. They're terrible. And
makes absolutely no sense. But how about the Blazers getting Aaron Afalo?
I'm not a huge fan of Afalo. I've never been that way. I mean, I understand when they're going for it, right? They're trying to make a big push. I don't think he's that great of a player, and he's on the wrong side of his career. He's not going to get any better. I know a lot of Bulls fans wanted him. His numbers suck this year from shooting from three. He's not going to move the needle. I mean, I don't think – I'm fine with us not giving up an asset like Tosh for Aaron Afalo. I think that would have been a mistake.
Yeah, but they didn't give up – look, what the Blazers gave up was nowhere near a Taj Gibson. You know, they didn't really give up much for him. I certainly think that it solidifies their bench more so than it was. I mean, you certainly have a six-man now coming off the bench. You know, I think it's a good move for the Blazers.
Would you have been willing to give up that number one – you know, that could potentially be pretty high for, well, I guess we don't really know. I don't think I would have
been protected.
Lottery protected? I'm not even sure I would be willing to give up that for Afalo. I don't know if he would have made that much of a difference. I think I'd prefer to keep the asset in the pick.
You know what? I'm going to disagree with that. I think that I absolutely think it's fine. I mean, the fact is that you think you're in the West. The West is really good. You're one of the better teams in the West. I don't think right now that Portland, yesterday before the trade, I don't think that Portland was the best team in the West. But they had probably about as good of a shot as anyone to win the title. And I think that getting Afalo now doesn't put you, like, clearly over the needle, but I certainly think it makes them better. So it's like, all right, I mean, this is a team that could win a title. I have no problem with it. I mean, I think it makes you better now, and this is your best shot at winning a title probably ever. Since, like, 78, 79, this is probably the best shot they've had to win a title.
Yeah. And it's always good to go for it. That's a good point. It's always good to go for it. So, hey, man, I got to hit the road, brother. We got another one banged out. How long was that? Probably about half hour? Not bad.
Yeah, a little bit over that.
We're going to get these out with increased regularity. You know, have a good weekend. We'll talk some more. Talk some more. Are you going to Game of Thrones yet? I want to talk some Game of Thrones. It's coming up in April. You got to get into that.
It's not my type of show, man. It ain't happening.
All right. Gosh, well, maybe I'll do a solo on that one, because I'm pretty darn excited. And I used to be that way, too. Ah, it sucks. I'm not dragons and all that nonsense. I'm not a big Lord of the Rings guy. I'm telling you, watch it. It's about family. It's kind of like The Sopranos in the Middle Ages is what I like to say. It's a great show.
Is there nudity on it?
Plenty. Lots.
Oh, yeah. High five.
Yeah. You'll probably watch it now, I'm sure. Check it out. You'll like it.
Well, you said all I needed to hear. But, Freddie, have a great weekend. And until next time, if it ain't Bulls.
Hey, basketball. All right, my man.
All right. Take care, buddy.
Bye-bye.